Let's open up with a word of prayer. Huh? Father, again, it's such a joy to know your word and that you continually instruct us as we read it and as we're going through 1 Peter, the things that we're seeing and what we're learning, just how you love us so much, and even through suffering and being aliens and scattered about, not really being blended in with the world like we're not to do. Lord, you work in there all things, and so we thank you for that, and we ask that you continue to teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we were kind of finished up that, you know, just kind of going over a little bit. We're a holy people, and we're to be a holy people, a people that are separate from the world. And it's already started out with that when Peter first started off. He says, "Hey, we're aliens. We don't belong here. We're not to be comfortable here, but we have a purpose here. But we are to be called. We are to be holy. We're a holy nation." We're set apart by God, and there's a purpose to all these things. So Peter continues writing, and we'll start in verse 12 of chapter 2, verse 11, and let's go all the way to the end of 25, actually to the end of the chapter. Dear friends, and I'm reading out the NIV today. No, that's all I have. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show your proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, and now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. All right. Excuse me for a second. I have to make a note there. All right. Peter uses this term a lot. I shouldn't say a lot, but a few times in here. It's actually, he kind of references it. Aliens. So I asked this question. It's actually two parts. Why does he stress that we are aliens, Peter, as we read this? Why does he stress that we're aliens? And how do aliens and strangers live in this world? It's important as we continue going on. Why does he stress that we are aliens? So he's given us an identity. And then, how do aliens and strangers live in this world? That's what he's getting to, isn't it? Are we to be aliens? And are we supposed to try to get that title removed from us, that stigma, if I could say that, removed so that we could be part of the world? Have we read that we're not to be conformed to the world, to the patterns of this world? Paul says that in Romans. But yet, isn't that something that we sometimes gravitate towards, conforming to the world? But remember, if we know who we are, and we're called aliens, and we're not to have the title removed, then we act as aliens, if you can. We're not to be conformed. And it's so easy to get conformed to this world. It really is. Especially to all the idols and things that we see around us that we want to grasp onto. And so that conforming to the world is really a warning that we wouldn't be conformed. So how do aliens then, if we are aliens, and we are strangers then, that's the word, then how do we live in the world? How do aliens and strangers live in a place where they're not to try to conform to or be part of? Take this picture. We got some people that want to cross the border. They want to come into the United States. Obviously, they're not citizens of the country. You can tell that they're aliens and they're strangers, and they come in and they try to conform, don't they? Don't they want to blend in? Or do they want to come in and keep their own identity? That might be a hard illustration because nowadays we want to bring in our identity and be who we are. But don't they try to come in? And why do they come in the first place? Why do they come in? And do they want to remain aliens? Do they want to remain Mexicans or Canadians or whatever? Or do they want to become Americans? Do they want to? Huh? I don't know. Maybe it's bad illustration. We'll just maybe dump that one and try it again. Because as I'm talking that whole question, I'm in my head it's spinning. I'm going, no, I'm seeing a bunch of other stuff. So wait, we'll try something different. But I'm serious. Aliens and strangers. How do they live in this world? If we're called to be that, if we're called to be an alien stranger, how do we live in this world? How would you live? How do you think we're supposed to live? Yo. If you raise your hand, you can say something.
Well, I tried to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I thought it was her. And then I said, oh, she could talk. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right, but I'm also going to steal an illustration from Janet with her chocolate cookies. I'm sure some of the other ones, like, okay, fill those, right? So, like the chocolate chips are part of the cookie batter, but they're somehow still distinct and separate. Like, so we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Like, we are in it, but we are still distinct, and we're still different. So, that's a good illustration, but very
unremembered. Well, we're supposed to be, if we're supposed to be aliens, we stick out as aliens. If you're an alien and that's what we're called to be, and we're not supposed to remove that stigma, if I could use that, maybe that's not a good word either, but then we're going to stick out as aliens, right? So how are aliens supposed to live? Well, they're supposed to live differently. There's something about them that people go, they're aliens. They don't belong here. They're different. And, Chinatown, well, that'd be, Yeah, they do. Good. Ever been to Chinatown? Okay. But you have to go there sometime, Troy. I guess another question would be, do you look like an alien in this country right now or in this culture right now? And would people look at you as an alien? Because they said, Peter continues going on, he says, abstain from sinful desires that war against your souls. Don't participate in what the world participates in.
More and more of this.
What's that?
Especially if
That's odd that that's what makes us look like an alien. Now, I heard, I think it was Trump or somebody else said that there was only two sexes, and they called him. He was absolutely wrong scientifically. That was about a month ago. And I went, that's kind of bizarre. That, seriously, that's what I heard. That's really a fast condensation of what I just said, but that's what he said, there's only two sexes. And so he's counted it as kind of being odd.
It's getting very bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of hard, isn't it?
And yet, if you get it wrong, or they change back, you're in trouble. Because you're not being respectful as a supervisor.
I think when we get into the governing authorities, we'll kind of be talking about that a little bit, too. How do we submit in certain things, and what do we do to be this? But, yeah, we are going to have to act differently. We're going to have to respond differently. Because we do, that's why we stick out as aliens. And we don't abstain from the sinful desires that war against our souls. That's what Peter says. I mean, really, when we embrace the idols of this world, they war against our souls. Anything that we desire that's going to fulfill us, or anything, that's what the world's always seeking, is something to fulfill them. And these things war against your very soul. And we're just abstaining from those things. Really, again, to be aliens, that they see that we live these different lives. And here's the purpose of it. Live such good lives in verse 12. And I want to hang around 12, and I want to hang around another verse too today. Verse 12, though, says, live such good lives among the pagans. I kept the NIV today because the ESV uses Gentiles. I like the word pagans. Works the same, though. All right? But live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. We've got to keep our identity as aliens. We have to, we must. And the only way to do that is not to conform to the world. And if we don't conform to the world, they'll see that we're aliens, and then they're going to look at our lives and they're going to say, there's something here. There's something different. There's a pattern going on. Why are they aliens? Why don't they try to conform? And it's supposed to drive them to the fact that they see our good deeds and that basically they'll come to salvation themselves. So by not participating in the world, we have to, we have to refute a few things. Yeah? You know, I've watched these commercials. I love advertisements because advertisements are made to do what they're supposed to do. They want me to have something that they're presenting to me. So I look at the beer commercials, and they're having a big party. Everybody's having a great time. And you just go, that looks like that'd be fun. Or you see the lewdness of the photographs or the pictures of everything else and all the advertising we see. And it entices us to go, hey, that's what we need. We need youthfulness and we need, I was trying to come up with another word, and I'll come up with it while I'm listening to you, Steve. Well, we're going to get there, Steve. We're going to get there. I'm still in verse 12 because I'm working my way into it. Because this submission thing is big, because it makes a reflection of back to verse 12. When we submit, do they see our lives being different? And why are we submitting to things that maybe we disagree with? And can we submit to them? And do we have to submit to them? And can we rebel against them? And what's the purpose of all that? Lots of things right there. I just kind of wanted to get to the thing, but the things that we're trying not to, that make us aliens. I mean, when we see those kind of things, we go, I can't participate in certain things. I've got to be different, you know, because the wealth of the world's not going to make me happy. But yet I sit there and I watch things. And I'm talking about all these lottery winners. And they're going to have the joy of everything. They're all going to find ultimate fulfillment. And so we see all these things of the world that enamor us to do these things. But we have to be aliens. We try to hold back from it.
If you go back to verse 12, if you're honest, why are the believers being
Why are we? We're yeah. Well, Peter's argument in the whole letter is to encourage these aliens and strangers in the world that you are a separate people. He told right out of the gate that you are a chosen people and that you've been born again and that you have new lives and that we do live differently. And so he continues going to these people. Now, if you are a new creature in Christ, which he's assuming as he's writing to these Christians, then you will live a different life. You're a holy people. You're separate. And you're naturally, not naturally, but spiritually naturally, if you can, you're going to live a different life. And if you are going to live a different life, you're going to be an alien to this world, and you're going to stick out in this world. But it's not going to be an easy process. You can't blend into the world. And if you do blend into the world, then you're not an alien any longer, and you're actually having no influence on the world, because we're called to have an influence on the world, because verse 12 tells us to live such good lives among the pagans, or among the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the ungodly, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they can't. They may see your good deeds and glorify God. So the purpose of our lives that we live here are to honor God, to be an alien, to stand out, and to make people go, I can't find fulfillment, but they seem to have found fulfillment. That's the lives we're called to live.
I guess what I'm saying is, calling these folks to believers, evildoers, just like us evildoers, for not conforming. But by conforming, you're talking about a certain level of submission.
Well, I think they're calling us evil.
Like, to me, I guess I'm looking for like more of a definition.
Is it like being picked on for doing the right thing?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. We. You guys are moving me so fast. What? Okay, hold on to that thought for a second, Jamie. I got to go back to that one. What?
Well, with the biblical gender stuff, like when we stick to what Scripture says and tell people, no, there's two genders, you're the one that God gave you, they point at you as being disrespectful and sexist and all that stuff. So that would be an example I would think of them calling us evil.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. They are. Because we're not conforming, and then they would call us evil for that. Jamie, go back to what you were saying again.
Well, I mean, just like as evildoers, so we're not evildoers.
Evildoers according to...
According to the world.
There you go.
So when I'm standing up against abortion, they're saying you wicked people, women have rights, or if I'm saying you can't, you know, a man is a man, is a woman is a woman, they're like, you're wicked because you won't let them have their way, and they feel like they're a guy today.
Right.
There.
So, and that'd be an example, both yours and Ellis's. That's why we'd be called evildoers.
That's a good segue. But if we submit to those rules, like Alice is a good example, she has to use the right pronouns. We're conforming.
Can we hold all these thoughts for a second? Because it's important that we read. I know you are, but you're wanting to go into the other ones. And here, it's verse 16, you guys, but hold on just for a second. I got to ask you a couple of questions. It's this, how we affect the world, okay? So the thing would be, how can our lives, and this is a question not to be answered, how can our lives have an impact on those who are resistant to the gospel of Christ? How can our lives have an impact on the pagans of the world and those who are resistant to the gospel by our preaching it to them, that we can tell them the truth too, but also as they're watching us continue to keep that identity as aliens? Now, how do we keep the title as aliens without conforming to the world? Peter says this in verse 16. He goes, live as free men. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Well, the question is, how do you live as free men? Now, if you think about where they're at right now, they're under a totalitarian government or dictatorship with, I think it's Nero, who is most likely the Caesar at the time. He's on a rampage to kill him anyway. He doesn't like him. There's no support for Christian identity as a whole, like we have in our country right now. Actually, because we actually had a Supreme Court rule and everybody's rooting for it, and we wanted this one Supreme Court nominee to come on board because he's going to protect our rights. And the other Supreme Court ruling we wanted was about the cake baker down there in Colorado. They don't have anything like that. We do. All right, so he's telling them to act like free men. In fact, another thing is, they're called strangers because, and they're looked at as odd because they don't have a loyalty to Caesar. In the sense of they don't call Caesar the king, they call Christ their king. Now, he's the ultimate authority is what they're saying. They still are called to be under Caesar's rule, but they're looked at as odd because they're declaring that there's another king. They're probably treated harshly by their neighbors, their fellow workers or fellow slaves. That really is, the whole thing starts off in 1 Peter. You go, hey, you guys are living a tough life, but here's a bunch of encouragement. And you're going, well, they're not living as free men at all. How can that be encouraging? And the government is not on their side. They really do. They think that they're a kind of a weird sect, which they are. They're called the way in Acts because they're just a different way. They're just a different sect of people. Some of them are slaves. Actually, a majority of them probably are. And their working conditions vary. Some are good, because we read that. Some are bad. And there's, I think I was reading one of the accounts, there's about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Basically, their economy is based on slavery. That's just the way it was. They were comfortable with it, or they had to. So when he sits there and he says, live as free men, you're going, what does he mean to live as free men? It's important, because we can tie this together with 12. Live as free men. What can free men do? Well, freedom means that you can make a choice. Right? Isn't that what freedom's about? I mean, if you're not under freedom, then you're doing whatever somebody tells you to do. So you're not a free person. So live as free men. How do we live as free men? So
that's the contentment or the freedom you have, is knowing that it's better.
You're right. We do have a different. Okay, remember what we're called to be. Aliens, we stand out. We're different. All right. What does freedom mean? It's kind of like Phil said, it's in a spiritual sense. I couldn't say it any better, so I had to copy this from Chuck Swindoll. I think it was him or another guy. Freedom only exists when we rise up against the natural inclination of the flesh, which is sinful, and act in a way that differs from the sinful nature. I'll read it one more time. Think about this. Freedom only exists when we rise up against the natural inclination of the flesh, which is sinful, and we act in a way that differs from the sinful nature. Why would we act in a way that differs from the sinful nature? Because we have the Spirit of God living inside us. That's what we read earlier on. Okay, now that we have the Spirit, we can be free men. So we live as free men, even though we're slaves. We live under a government that hates us, who really isn't on our side in any capacity. We live in a corrupt society. There's no freedoms, what to speak of, rights or anything else, and we're called to live as free men. The free men that we are is because we are followers of God. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and it makes us aliens because we operate and we think totally different. So instead of responding as a natural man would, when the government does things that we oppose, we sit there and we go, what would... WWJD, I guess. What would we do? What do we do in that situation? And that's freedom. Yeah.
We're also free in our spirits. We're free from the bondage of sin. our spirits and our soul. We're free to rest in the circumstances because we know our future home.
Freedom of God, yeah, freedom of Christ. But the reason I use pagans instead of Gentiles, because pagan has that the word, it makes it make it look like they're just ungodly people, which they are. That's what the world is. If they don't know God, you're ungodly. That's basically what it is. But the world's under sin, and that's the only way they can operate. They do not have a nature that rebels against sin. They don't want to rebel. I hate my sin, and I want to rebel against my sins, if I could possibly say that. But they don't. They live in this. They don't have freedom, you guys. They don't live as free men, Peter says. The freedom that you have is to be able to say, I'm not under the power of sin any longer because that's been taken from me. But they live under it, you guys. They don't have that alternative. So he goes, live as free men, you guys. Now, that's going to make you an alien, correct? If you live as a free man and we live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and under the direction of God through the Word of God, that makes us totally different people. And you will stick out because we operate in that different sense. So, if you look at the world and you watch what they're doing and you sit there and go, they're such idiots. I can't believe they think the way they do. The reason they think the way they do is because they can't think any different. We are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us conviction of sin and to know that things are wrong and that they're not right and that they are messed up. And so we can live as aliens. And it's so we're swimming against the current of life, where the rest of the world is just kind of like swimming down the creek. They're just flowing with it, and it's easy. But to go up against it, you ever swam up against the stream? I know you have. It's a little bit harder than floating down the river with it, just floating in, laying down. To go against the current, it's tough. And that's all our lives are about, is just going up against the current. We're always going to go up against the current. Then we're going to sit there and go, why doesn't the world, why don't they understand? Why can't they see what we're, I mean, this is clear as a bell. That's the reason I'm just going up the current. I'm going up the current, and they're not. They're just floating out of it. What do you got, Sam? You know what? I like how you said that. It's true. It's discouraging because we're supposed to think about that as an easy street. This has to be read really in the right context. To be a free person, these people are not in any capacity thinking of freedom the way we think of freedom. He is referring to them to be free, and they are free in Christ. And that's a different way of thinking. What is that passage where Paul, I mean, not Paul, I think it's in John, where he says, if the Son has made you free, then you're free indeed. The thing is, we're free from sin. That's the thing. We're free from sin's bondage over us like the world has. They don't think. I really do. I wrestle with it a lot of time. I go, they can't see what I'm seeing. They can't see the ugliness of abortion. They really can't. And that one's really hard on me because I'm going, how can't they see that? But they can. All they can see is their selfishness of why they want that. And it's a personal thing. If you read any of the stuff, why they ask, why they wanted to have make it legal. And even if it make it sounds like it really soft, it's still ugly because of the result of it. But they can't see it. So you sit there and you go, man, if I just show it to them, explain it. No, you can show them all the pictures in the world. No, they just get mad at you for showing them the pictures. They need the Spirit of God in. They need to be changed in their thinking. And the only way they can be changed in their thinking is to know that there's a different way. And they can hear the gospel, but they can also see these strange people that operate in a manner that's different, and they're fulfilled in how they operate or they live. So that's the difference. So when we're called to be aliens, even in our culture, we're nothing like what's going on here. We're still called to be aliens. And this is real in this culture right now, even worse. So we struggle, and we should. Or we can conform. If we conform, you guys, we're not giving the world one bit of a change. We're not giving them an option. We're not showing them there's something different. So there's no conforming. So Peter continues to go, so do this. If you're going to represent well and you're going to live as free men, submit. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Remember, every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent to by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. It's God's will that you would go through this by submitting, and you'd suppress their foolish talk and whatever's brought up about you. So what is the response of a person who doesn't like the governing authorities that exist? And you tell me one person here who loves the governing authorities all the time that exist about. And you're going, I can't stand them. I don't like that party. I like this party a little bit better, but they don't operate the way I like. This governor here makes a lot of bad choices. I wish I had Idaho's governor. We could do all these things, but who's our governor right now? Who's our mayor right now? Who's our president right now? Who's our representative? Who's our senator? Who's the cop down the street or driving down the street? Whatever that authority is, it says every authority doesn't pick anything out. Every authority, school board, city council. Now, submit to them. Submit. Why? He doesn't really give any. We'll look at that a little bit, but it says. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, not for mine. I can't submit because I won't. There's a lot of things I don't want to submit to. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. For it is God's will. Verse 15. It's God's will that you. Doing so, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. I see a lot of resistance out there, you guys. In fact, I'm watching in France right now. There's a lot of resistance going on up there against the authorities. What are they doing? They're burning things, tearing things up, destroying things, not looking like aliens, right? Because they're, you know what? They want the point to get across because they will not submit to what has been brought down on them. I think it's goofy too. But I can't join them out there in the middle of the burnings because I'm not in France either. That kind of helps. But what else? We protest. We can resist. I saw so much resistance when Trump came into office. I see so much resistance to all authorities lately. Actually, not when I say lately. I mean in the past few years. A lot of resistance. And a lot of it's done by us. Because we go, it's wrong. And so how we resist makes it. It does. It sticks out. How do we resist? Are we representing Christ or are we representing ourselves? Remember, it's for the Lord's sake, not for mine. Well, liberty is more a word that we like a little bit better than submission. What's submission mean? It's pretty easy. Just submit. just do what you're told. Just do it. Submit. But we don't like that. So we're going to work around that and try to define submission in every way that we can. Just submit. That's basically what it means. It's hard. When I was learning that over the years, I just finally went, it's submit. I still don't want to do it. I know what it means. I quit doing the little thing. It has little caveats attached to it and everything else. Corbin, you got your hand up. I'm sorry. What do you got, Corbin?
I think submitting is not always a conformity of action, but understanding that this action will have a punishment and fine with that punishment.
That's what he says.
It's unjust. Because we're not going to change our records. We're going to be this alien. But when the punishment comes, we're not going to protest against it. Like, this is the authority. This is the punishment for following my God. I'd be fine with it. Because to willingly accept punishment is bizarre. And many people see that.
Why would we, are you saying that we should not submit and then willingly take the punishment? Is that what you're saying?
Well, submitting to the authority, for the gender thing.
Okay.
It's hate speech if you use the wrong pronoun. But if you, in Christ, understand that there are only two genders, and so you only use those two because that's the order that God's given, the punishment would be a fine or jail or whatever. Accepting that punishment, whether or not your action was wrong, you did the good, right thing and accept the punishment anyway.
Or like baking a cake for this. Yeah, we're gonna start marching right in. We're getting really close. I'm trying to keep you out of it right now. Because Steve, I know we're gonna, because we are. We have to, because we have to go to that point. We do. But we have to also understand where we're at before we get to that point. Of doing that, and I'm not being mean to you, Steve. I was just kidding with you when I said that. But we have to deal with things.
One way to look at it is to submit up to the point of conformity, and then that's where we need to have clear.
That goes under exemptions, and I want you to wait for that little thought because I know it's sticking in your head, Steve. But we really don't. We have to understand submitting for the Lord's sake first. We will.
So that's the point of submission is God's higher authority. My other point was, this doesn't relieve us, especially in our country, of our responsibility to do what we can in the system provided to make changes. We don't just have to submit and never do anything. We have responsibility to our government to do our part.
We do. It's how we submit and why we're submitting. And that's where Steve's going. And I know that's where it's going to park there for a second because that's big. About the pronouns. And what were you going to say, Steve? I'll let you go on that one now.
No, that was basically it.
But
Naomi's job is a good example, too. She can wear a T-shirt that has a pagan saying on it or some other poetic.
That's actually an interesting, because you're kind of going, well, that's good, but why are you submitting and doing what you're doing? Because that's your right, isn't it? Vulnerable. Okay, we're seeing a little bit of injustice there, right?
So
I got you, Jason, here. Okay, but
can I say something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think what this all boils down to is living differently and being different and being all these things and then submitting and taking your rights as a citizen of this world or however you want to put all this. But how we react, how we do things, are we doing it to prove a point, or are we doing it to love the non-Christian in a way that brings them to Christianity and not pushes them away? I mean, I think a lot of this is we always watch how Christ lived his life. And when Christ did something, he always made his point. But he did it in a manner that was so loving, that the woman at the well who had been sinning, he did it in such a manner that he says, you know, follow me and your life will be different, but sin no more. And I think how we react to things and how we, because when my feelings get stomped on, I tend to lash out. So that in that lashing out, am I showing who Christ is? No, I'm not. I'm sinning like a bad dog, you know? And so we have to completely remember that as we live our life and are content in where we are and what we're doing, we have to always look at, you know, how is God portrayed and how is Christ portrayed in this thing? And such a hard thing to have. You know, if I go out there and swear and then I tell them, you know, God and Christ are, you know, without Jesus, I'd be a different, you know, I mean, it's all these things that we fight amongst our, you know, in our own lives too. So
I didn't think about the, that pronoun thing is a good illustration. I didn't even think about that as I was doing this, and that's just opening up a cat's bag, but we have to deal with that one because that is very, that one's going to hit us. How are we going to react to that one? So I'm going to stop right here. Because, and I'm going to stop with this. I'm going to go back to what, just a couple things. I think verse 12 and 16 are really, they are the impact on this thing right here. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong. All right? They're accusing you of doing wrong. Not necessarily we're wrong. You're accusing you of doing wrong. That they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Verse 16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. One of my questions was, how do we use freedom for a cover up for evil? We're not even there yet, but we're getting there. Jason, you have one thing you want to say?
A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's basically Israel. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. What he's basically painting a picture of is Israel and Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, that's you guys. You are God's chosen people, and you're in exile in Babylon. That's what the Jews were the thought of. And so how mm-hmm. do we live in Babylon? And so on the one hand, he puts it one direction and hey, don't conform to them in terms of the flesh, sin. But then I think all believers of all eras have always needed to understand, like, submit to the governing authorities. And I think even early on, Christians, they would take these verses and like, see, we're our own people. We don't have to submit to anybody. And Peter's like, oh, time out. Like, you are a spiritual people. You submit to the governing authorities. And I think we'll get to those exceptions and stuff next time.
Yeah.
That connection of Daniel. Like, just look at the life of Daniel. What did he do in Babylon? You know, he was told, hey, you can't pray by the decree of the king. He's like, hey, I'm gonna still sit by the window 3 times a day.
And pray.
So sometimes you have to go and make
sacrifices. Yeah, that's why things like these are tough. I mean, it's because we do live in, this is what I see. This is the world I live in right now. And sometimes I try to conform to it. Sometimes I go, it's easier to conform than resist because, come on, you guys, it is. It's just easier to conform. But I know I can't conform. And I know that when I do conform, I'm convicted of it because it goes back. Freedom only exists when we rise up against the natural inclination of the flesh. The world can't do that. They can't. That's, which is simple. That's a natural inclination of the flesh, is because it's sinful, and we can't act in, and act in a way that differs from the sinful nature. The world can't act different than the sinful nature. They are trapped in sin, and so we're supposed to be those aliens that they can see a rescue, how to come out of that. God said he'll use that by our good works. But I want to stop on the pronoun thing. We're going to have to go back to. We're going to stop right here, and we'll start again next week right here, because the sweatshirt thing, those are big, and they're so diluted that we almost have to go, how in the world can we honor God and at the same time and such a good life, and then for the Lord's sake submit on all that stuff, you know? So, all right, Father, we've been called to be aliens, and I can confess sometimes we don't look like aliens. I don't look like an alien. We live in tough times now, Father. I don't think it's as tough as these guys had it, but you've called us to live for your sake. I pray that we would be convicted in our hearts of your words, that would be what would guide us this morning, today, and the rest of this week. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.